Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If the winner of the game will clinch a playoff berth if the Lions lose. That's, you know, obviously whoever wins will have a major say in the NFC North. So, yeah, you're rooting for a Steelers upset here too this weekend.
Am I?
Over the Lions, yeah. Mm-hmm. Just because you get a playoff berth for sure if you win and they lose.
I think the story of the Bears, and it is, he's done a great job with Caleb Williams, Ben Johnson has, but it's what he's done with the run game, going to number two, you know, from one of the worst rushing attacks last year under Eberflus to number two in the league overall in terms of rush yards. You're number one in yards per carry before contact, number one in rushing first downs and touchdowns, and we mentioned it, number two in overall rushing yards. That's what's making it easier for Caleb Williams. So you're not just doing a job where you're trying to turn Caleb Williams into Patrick Mahomes the first year and putting everything on his back. It's the best thing you can do for young quarterbacks, you know, even guys who were number one picks, is take pressure off. And what he's been able to do with the run game, I've told you this before, this is the part I didn't see coming. Thought Ben Johnson, offensive genius, got routes going that we've never seen in play calls. He does that just as much with the run game and creating these lanes for DeAndre Swift and for Kyle Manunga that I didn't see coming. It's also Bears, and you got to give their general manager credit for this, Poles. You know, you went out and got Joe Tooney. You know, how much did KC miss Tooney, an All-Pro? Like, that's the thing. KC's let a lot of guys go because they don't want to, you know, pay him, and you wonder, you know, offense was an issue at times. Protecting Mahomes was an issue at times. But look what he's done. He's gone over to the Bears and helped produce now the number two run game in the league. They got Dalman, I think, from Atlanta, Jonah Jackson from the Rams, and all of a sudden they got the best run game, one of the best run games in the NFL, only behind the Buffalo Bills.
Yep.
That's been as much a part of this turnaround. It's not talked about as much. Caleb's talked about Bears being number one and turnovers is being talked about. And then what's been talked about going into this game is that the Packers no longer have the number one guy in terms of quarterback pressures in Micah Parsons. And so if you don't have him and you can't create pressure and the Bears are able to run the ball, well then, my gosh, things should be pretty, you know, smooth sailing for Caleb Williams.
Yep.
So you're not asking to go out and win the game. So
yep.
The pressure's all – whereas the first game just 2 weeks ago felt like everything – it wasn't feel like it was. It's at Lambeau, all the pressure's on Green Bay. You're supposed to be the team that's all in.
Yep.
Now with Micah down, the Bears able to run the ball the way they are. Back at home,
totally different game.
It's flipped to where I feel like the pressure's on these Bears. Hey, you guys ready to make the 100% statement? It's wide open for you to do so.
Yep.
That said, I'm expecting a very good Jordan Love in this one, who's here to say, Bears, we've been doing this for a while, building up to this. I know y'all think we're down without Micah, but we're going, you know, I'm about to show you Christian Watson looking like he might play. You know, he's got Matthew Golden. So I just think there's a good chance Jordan Love may do us up. You know, everything points to Bears. Fordham ball,
right.
The line.
No, you're, it's kind of uncomfortable.
I can see Jordan Love. Yes, it's made me very uncomfortable. Yeah. Everybody's sort of jumping on now.
You would rather everybody be like,
Bears are fraudulent.
Yeah.
Where kind of, and that's where we were up until now. Yeah. And a Micah Parsons injury has a ton to do with folks being ready to say Bears can win this game. And clearly Vegas.
But see, this is part of your arc, bro. This is part of your arc where it's not as carefree anymore. It used to be on the way up. It was fun, like whatever. We weren't supposed to be this. We weren't supposed to. Okay,
right.
But now you're here, dog. Now you're here, and unfortunately, when that happens. The there's pressure now and there's like disappointment, you know, that's the thing is like on the way up, there's really no disappointment because you're like, well, we weren't supposed to be doing this. We weren't supposed to be in the conversation. We weren't this supposed to be
really
a 2-3 year
Green Bay loss.
Yes.
Was, even up to that point.
And now here you are and you're like, unfortunately, this is the nature of things. Like inevitably, if the Packers win this game, you are going to be disappointed. I mean, that's just, you know, whereas before the season started, you probably would not have been like, of course we lost to the Packers. We're not ready yet. But you know, you got kind of thrown. And again, it's a credit to Ben Johnson and the team that they've put themselves in this situation. But there is some, you know, unintended consequences that come with that when you're basically a pick 'em at home and if you don't win that game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's and just.
I told you I've got a real, I won't be able to watch it on Saturday night. I will be at the Grinch at the Orpheum. And I really don't have a choice because my wife bought those tickets a while back.
Right.
And she actually rescheduled them for the night show, the 7 o'clock show. This is a 7:20 Bears game, I think. And she had to pay to reschedule. She had to reschedule because Chris has got a couple of basketball games in the morning and the afternoon. We had an afternoon Grinch showing down in Orpheum.
Golly.
She had to move it, and she had to pay to move it. And so there is no backing out after she's already rescheduled. I mean, it really is a Memphis sports story because we wouldn't have had to reschedule if Chris doesn't have these MAM tournament games on Saturday morning and afternoon. But we had to reschedule Grinch for 7. So your boy's going to be at the Orpheum sitting with his wife and son while the Bears are playing the Packers in the 212th meeting between those storied franchises.
What time's the show?
7.
Oh, God.
The game is at 7:20. I think the game at the Orpheum, the Grinch is at 7.
Now, how long is the Grinch? Do you know?
I have not checked the runtime, but either way.
My guess would be.
I mean, I'd be lucky if it's less than 2 hours.
You think it's 2 hours?
I'd be lucky if it's less. I'm worried it might be.
Is there an intermission?
I'm worried it might be an intermission. And when you go to the Orpheum, ain't there usually an intermission?
Yeah, it's going to be a 2-hour affair. It's going to be a 2-hour affair.
And so Chris and I already have a plan. You know, we have to make the best of the situation. What we can't do is act like we don't want to go.
This was a Faith production. She's like, we're doing
this.
This
is the family deal. She bought these tickets, and she did it again. This has been in the works for over a month ago, and these tickets have been bought. And so if we go down and we act ungrateful, my son and I, saying, oh, I wish we could do Bears, my wife's then going to go down angry to go see the Grinch. It ruins everything about the season and why you're going in the first place.
Yes.
So we don't have any choice but to shut up and go. The plan is for me to sit in the middle, Faith to sit to the right of me,
okay,
and Chris to be sitting on my left. On the GameCast,
okay,
on his phone, and feeding me the info while I tell Faith to my right, honey, I just love this show. I love
the Grinch.
This was such a great idea to bring the family down to the. That's what I'm going to be telling Faith in her left ear. See,
yes,
that's how it's going to work. Hopefully, she's not listening, honey. If you are, we are very grateful for these tickets. We are soldiers for you. This is a family outing. And Bears-Packers is not playoffs.
Yeah.
Now, if it was playoffs, I might have to just pay her for the tickets.
Right.
And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Brad, you want to interject. Can you help me here?
I have an update.
Is this the best way I can handle
it? Well, I wanted to at least give you the update because you asked about the run of the show and how the format is.
I would love to know how long.
85 minutes, according to this, no intermission.
Oh, okay.
125. Well, 1 hour.
It's a quick run.
New plan. You're in great shape. You're going to be in down. Here's the new plan. You're in downtown Memphis. This is going to get out at about 8:30.
I know where you're going.
You're going to leave the Orpheum, and you're going to take your ass right to Max's. And you're going to watch
just
the second
was
half.
In awe of the pictures that you put out.
You're going to watch the second half. Probably mid. You'll probably get there mid third quarter, which hopefully is still a close game.
Yeah.
At the very least, I'd be willing to guarantee you can watch the fourth there.
No doubt. And that's what we did for the Philly Bears game. We were driving home from Missouri. I had to get wife back for a tea the next morning.
Yeah, that's actually the plan. And it's not perfect, but that way you can knock out both.
That's why we're a great team. And Brad, I appreciate you looking that up.
85 minutes is a very
palatable runtime. That's what I need. I feel a lot better about this situation. Yes, because the intermission was going, I'm like, come on.
Because here's the thing.
This whole time.
It's a 7:20 game. So, you know.
I'm already going to be 20 minutes in.
Right. You're going to be 20 minutes in because the Orpheum's going to start on time.
I'm going to catch most of the second half, I'm starting to feel like.
I think you
a lot of the second half.
There's a chance you could catch the whole second half. There's a chance.
Yeah. If I just hit maxes immediately, don't try to.
Is there a halftime show on these? Because sometimes during the, you know, these standalone games, I guess that's the Christmas only. It's probably the only, because I think Beyonce did the Houston game. But yes, you will be at the very least be able, because these, you know, these commercial breaks are super long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're going to be able to catch the at least the half of the second half. You could maybe catch the majority of the second half. Now, the game needs to be close for you to justify making that trip. If it's not close, you can just go home.
Yeah, I don't think there's Packers blowing us out.
But no, it's a pick'em. It's line as a pick'em. It should be close. So you should
have a good call on going to Max's immediately after the show.
Yeah, now I think they'd make an exception for old CJ, you know, young man on a Saturday night with his parents.
Oh, I didn't think about that. No kids down there, huh?
I don't know what the kid policy is.
Oh, man, but this plan's ruined.
Well, it is a bar, but I don't know. I think it's early enough.
Bar that you can smoke in? That's the thing, right?
I don't think it's smoking.
Then I think kids are cool.
Okay.
Maybe not.
I've never taken a kid to Max's, but I think they, even if they don't allow kids, I think they make an exception for you in this very specific.
Well, it'd be an emergency.
It's an emergency situation. Please, sir. Well. Yes. So there you go. That's the plan. It's better than the alternative.
Well, Bears lose, I'm going to be the Grinch.
That's right. I honestly
guarantee that for Christmas.
I am shocked
you ain't gonna want
that you're doing this because you feel like the antithesis of a guy that's going to go to the Orpheum to watch a damn play, especially the Grinch.
I've been asked, again, and you have to do these things sometimes, to look to do more of these. Ooh. While we've got Chris
still
with us.
Yeah, that's
right.
True.
Right?
Yeah.
Y'all get it that way. Not so much a threat. I think that's the way so y'all were initially here. More as we've got to do these while Chris is still in the house. He's about to be 12.
Yes.
It'll be gone before you know it.
That's right.
Let's do some more.
Is he pumped about it, or is he just kind of going like begrudgingly as well?
He's pumped about our plan, but he hates that he's missing the game. He's pumped that his dad thinks so deeply on this stuff and is this invested. He's not just saying, son, forget the game.
Right. Dude, right.
We're going to go watch the Grinch.
Yes.
No, we got a plan, and I'm cool. You know, we've talked it through. Father, son, bro.
Yeah. There you go.
I'll get a little smooth ready.
All right. Perfect. Well, now we got a plan. I look forward to seeing the picture from Max's when you hit it.
If they allow Chris in.
They're going to allow him in.
We can call ahead of time and find out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Appreciate the suggestion.
But I think that's really close to the Orpheum, though. I think that's the other thing.
It's all down there.
Yeah. So you're in really good shape there. All right. We'll come back. Part of the podcast is going to join us. We'll talk to him about the Tigers going on the road against Mississippi State. This season, the Aaron Bradshaw NIL stuff and more. Stick around, J&J, 90.9 FM, ESPN. Black Tie Moving is changing moving in the city of Memphis because when you're moving, you're not just moving things, you're moving pieces of your life. They understand that. Ask Jeff Calkins how his experience was. I've used them twice. Glad I did. Even during COVID, which, you know, you never know how that was going to go, but they handled it professionally through a tough situation. So they are the team in Memphis that you need to use. Call them. 316-6196 is the phone number. They can handle it for you whether you're moving cross town, cross country, in Memphis, out of Memphis, all good. 316-6196 is the phone number. It's Black Tie Moving, change and moving in the city of Memphis. Part of the Podjai is going to join us in just a moment. We'll talk to him about Memphis basketball. Obviously, there's a world, I suppose, where if you ran the table, you could get an at-large, but you can't run the table if you don't win your next one. So,
yeah,
I mean, that's kind of what, you know, and again, it's not really about at-large at this point.
100%.
As much as it is just like.
It's about belief.
Right. Win a damn game for your season.
Stabilization, like Zach Edey's ankle.
Yes.
You know, that's what it has to be about now.
Yes.
What that looks like and who exactly is part of it, I don't know, because we're very likely to see what the ninth different starting lineup against Mississippi State. I'd tell them just keep it the same. You know, you know you're likely going to play, you know, double digit guys anyway, but get to some form of consistency in terms of guys knowing when they're going to be in, who they're going to be playing with, because I think it's part of the reason why you're here.
Mm.
So hopefully that's happening. Yeah, that's why, you know, Jeff was asking me this morning. you know, which one's more important? Grizzlies getting a 500 beating Washington, and or this? And of course, if you're coming through the scope of, well, Tigers really can't do much to affect the at-large chances, it's kind of out the door. You'd say there ain't much meaning here.
Yep.
And Grizzlies symbolically getting to 500, everything they've been through. Yeah, you could point to that. But come on. Like, with where this Tigers team is and where, frankly, it feels like it could be if you kept losing, if things continued to go wrong, if, God forbid, you lost to Mississippi State and an Alabama State and Tony Madlock coming in here and beat you. You imagine what it's going to look like then? That feels like a realistic possibility right now. I'm not saying it's probable, but that it could come unraveled like that. Hopefully, you're going the other direction.
Yes.
So that's what makes this so important.
Exactly.
I mean, when you'd lost four in a row, just getting the win over Southern Illinois felt important in the sense that you got to get some belief within the Lori Walton Center.
Yep.
Of what they're doing. Forget us as a fan base and media covering this thing. And that's, for me, it's where you are now, because Louisville, you will run off the floor and you can blame, hey, you don't have the resources they have. But Vanderbilt, that's one that you absolutely should have won, and you're left scratching your head after the game at a point that you can't waste these opportunities.
Absolutely.
Especially these opportunities sort of, you know, figure out what your rotation is going
to
be.
Yeah, so pivotal game for Memphis, just like you said, just to kind of hang on to the rope here a little bit and just, stay together. And because, the more games you lose in a row, the harder it gets to get it back, it feels like. And this would be the second, four-game? Is it a four-game losing streak right now? It'd be three if they lose.
It would be three.
Gotcha,
yes.
Yeah. So your second three-game losing streak of the season, and it just, those pile up. It gets tough to come back from. So hopefully they can pull it off as a, 3.5-4 point dog on the road. We'll talk to Parth Upadhyay about it, get his thoughts on that and a whole lot more on the other side. Stick around. J&J 90 FM, ESPN. Parth Upadhyay covers the Memphis basketball program for the Daily Memphian. The, quote, best 4-6 team in America, end quote. He'll be flying to Starkville a little bit later today for the Tigers tilt against Mississippi State tomorrow. Parth, welcome to the show.
Appreciate it. I'm not flying to Starkville.
This is a very clear. This has been a challenging year. Penny looks. I don't want to say defeated, but he looks defeated,
exhausted. Right, like just kind of mentally drained.
Yeah.
By the way, they're losing these games too. I mean, they've got six losses, and four of them have come by 9 or fewer points. Those four happen to be against teams that are in the top 60 of KenPom, top 100 of the net. So kind of golden opportunities slipping through their fingers left and right. Some of those go another way. You're looking at, even if two of those swing the other way, you're looking at a 6-4, mm-hmm. 7-3 season, and we're having just drastically different discussions about this team. We're talking about a team that, at that point would have picked up more than one quality win. We're talking about this thing coming together quicker than Penny anticipated initially, but we're just not there.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, I think part of it is when you're putting it together, it's a team full of guys that have never done that at any level. Why are we surprised that they're not doing it at this level?
In terms of just winning meaningful basketball games?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough.
I mean, it's like you're, I do think that's kind of unrealistic, I mean, you're, I know the schedule is set years in advance, but it couldn't be more obvious that this was way too much for them, like at current.
Yeah. I mean, at the same time, almost not, right? Like, they've competed against everybody except for Louisville. They got their heads beat in on the road there. And then UNLV, the team couldn't show up. So that one was a ugly loss. But they've held their own, right? Like, so.
They have, but what do they have to show for it?
A 4-6 record, obviously.
What else? They have, they're 121 in the net.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what's Tulsa?
Tulsa is not 124, 73rd.
Right.
73rd in the net.
And they played nobody.
73rd in KenPom, excuse me.
I think Tulsa's, they're higher in the net.
They're higher in the net. They're like 46th, I believe, in the net.
Now, again, it's December, and the net doesn't really matter in December.
No.
My only point is that, like, the University of Memphis is going to have a hellacious time working their way out of 121 in the net. Like, at this point, it doesn't even really matter because they're out of the at-large discussion.
There's just not enough games left, right? Like, there's only
not enough
eight,
good ones.
There's only eight quad one or two opportunities left in the entire season, right? There's 21 games left, but only eight of them mean anything as far as moving the needle
quad
for
one
you.
Or two?
quad one or two.
Yeah.
And, you know, from what we've seen with this team, especially some of the mental mistakes down the stretch, who's to say that they won't lose, you know, three of those, right? Three or four? Like,
I don't know. It will happen. I mean,
I don't see this team going, you know, just, you know, 18-0 in conference play.
Like,
do y'all?
Memphis is behind Stephen F. Austin in the net. They're behind Mercer in the net. They're behind St. Thomas, Minnesota in the net. They're behind Hawaii in the net. I mean, they are behind some absolutely dog programs in the net this year.
After scheduling, you know, more aggressively than kind of anybody, right, at the high major level in the country.
They added Utah State.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, I get it.
And the net only means so much in December, like you said.
No,
so.
I mean, they will probably settle, my guess, is as a 70-80 team in the net because they will win some games.
For sure.
In the American, but that's not an at-large resume.
Not.
You know, so I don't know. I don't think Tulsa will finish whatever they are. 47 in the net.
47.
They will finish probably the same way that Memphis finishes because that's just what happens. Your net gets dragged down when you play American League teams and you don't, you know, win by a billion. I don't know. It's just there's no perfect answer. But, you know, you just wonder how different would it be if they had not lost to UNLV and if had they beaten Wake Forest. I mean, the season could look entirely different if that had happened.
Yeah, just off two games, right? And we're talking about games. Well, UNLV was a blowout, but – you know, all you had to do was show up.
You were a 14-point favorite.
All they had to do was show up, right?
It was
a UNLV team missing three starters, right?
Yes.
So if that one goes a different way, even if they have to eke that one out, whatever.
That's the one that's killing you because they're 199 at the net.
Right. That's the one that's kind of like
destroying you.
You know, that's the anchor that's weighing your resume down right now.
And that's not going to get better. Like, they're 4-6. They're not that great. I mean, you know.
They just lost to what? Tennessee State, right?
Yeah, they lost to Tennessee.
Shout out Nolan Smith.
Nolan Smith did it again last night. Beat Tennessee Martin.
Oh, wow.
A much better Tennessee Martin team. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I don't think there's any perfect strategy because, you know, if you beat up on a bunch of cupcakes, you're not tested, and what does it really even mean? Because ultimately, you know, is that enough? Like, if Memphis had played a bunch of jabronis in the non-conference and was 32nd in the net, but they didn't play anybody, they wouldn't really be an at-large team either. So,
because then those numbers kind of come down to earth when you go to American play. Like you said, you beat teams by 5, 6, 7 points. This is not enough, right? So you kind of have to schedule this way. Maybe not entirely
I think there's a middle ground.
Exactly. I
would probably schedule 3 to 4 of these a year instead of like 9.
Yeah, like right now, for context, Memphis has played the 8th toughest schedule in the country, according to KenPom. So you probably don't have to go to that extreme.
Right.
But at the same time, you can't schedule like a Big 12 school, like an SEC school would, you know, in the non-conference. You can't just schedule jabronis, like you said.
Yep.
Should Hassan Abdul-Hakim be the number one option as opposed to Doug? Last year we saw Tyrese Hunter at times take the step back and pretty much say, PJ, you go get it, and leading in that way. I do feel like Penny's been at a disadvantage, and maybe you're a little bit further along in terms of your pecking order if this guy had been out there, because he's shown how useful he is. I just wonder, could you, you know, they've put so much on Doug's sort of shoulders, saying at times, man, you just go out and create the offense. Can Hassan Abdul-Hakim be a guy that you're creating it through regularly?
I think so. I think he showed that, you know, starting off at Louisville when he scored 17 points. Obviously, those were kind of empty stats in a 26-point blowout.
Some one-on-one
whatever that was
in there, but yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
But then he did it again, right? He did it again against Vanderbilt and got that bucket that sent the game to overtime. Kind of his blend of skill, size, athleticism, craftiness, right? He has the makings of being that kind of 1A to Doug's 1B. I think Doug can be a 1, but it has to be a, does that make sense? Like a 1A, 1B
thing. Oh, yeah,
yeah.
He can't be every single night.
You know, relying on a 5'11 point guard to, hey, go out and win us ball games. Like Kendrick Davis did that, but even Kendrick had DeAndre Williams, right? Like Kendrick wasn't doing it solo.
Well, Kendrick Davis and Doug McDaniel are not even in the same stratosphere.
No, but in terms of, talk about size, like, you know, like undersized, 5'11.
But Doug McDaniel was coming in with, like, you knew what he was. He was like a guy that was sort of, you know, much maligned, had issues at Kansas State, not winning, couldn't stay on the floor in commission because of academic stuff. Like, Kendrick was coming in as an All-American type. You know, Doug was never that and will never be that.
Doug showed flashes of some of that. I'm not, you know, comparing him to Kendrick Davis is crazy, right? Different stratosphere,
well,
like you
Kendrick
said.
Kendrick Davis was number one and coveted.
Right.
Doug was a backup plan.
Right.
No, but for, like, Doug showed you he could, you know, at least in the American Conference, be that dude, right? Like with what he did at Michigan. Of course, last season went horribly, but the entire team was horrible at Kansas State. With some of the stuff he flashed at Michigan.
You think that dude, I don't think he's
in the American Conference, bro?
He has moments, but I find him to be an extremely frustrating player.
I thought
player.
He was going to win American Conference Player of the Year. I think he still could.
I don't know. I need more from him. I mean, I think he's really inconsistent. I mean, I think that's the, like, and that's the book on him. It's like, if it's going well for him early, like, it's going to go well for him. But if he, like, even against Louisville, like, I know he scored double figures, but he didn't do that in the context of a meaningful, you know.
No, the game.
I mean, he
well
beat Wake Forest. If you tell him to miss the free throw, he beat Wake Forest down the stretch. He did that. He got to the line after the
debacle. No, that's true. He has flashes. He's a good player.
He's not a perfect player. He's not Kendrick. But we knew that when you didn't get P.J. Haggerty and you had to settle for Doug McDaniel. There's a reason he wasn't the first priority.
But to live and die with the game on Doug McDaniel's shoulders, I don't think
that's the wrong way to
go. That's not the right move.
I think any college basketball coach would tell you that if Doug McDaniel is your best player, you're in trouble.
He can be one of your best players. I think he's a talented guy.
That's why I'm asking about Hassan.
I think he's a leader. I think he's a talented guy.
So that he's not having to be the best.
I mean, I'm with you 100%. Like, Hassan has to start being the top option because he's got the body.
I think it helps Doug if you allow that to happen.
Yes.
Not so much.
And then Doug becomes your second or, you know, I mean, there's really
some nights one. He could be one. I'm just saying you have to step up in the way that Tyrese and PJ were kind of doing it.
For sure. For sure.
Dane late in the year. I mean, Dane, you had three guys at the end of last year that could.
Who's third?
Dane, Tyrese, and PJ.
Oh, Tyrese, I'm sorry.
Before he got hurt.
For sure.
Yeah,
it's just been so weird with this team, right? There's not, like, even with spending, you know, the majority of the roster was on campus since June 1st, but there's no clear pecking order or hierarchy. And Penny talked about this after the Vanderbilt loss, that, you know, everybody is trying to contribute. And everybody can contribute, but everybody's trying to be the guy, right? Like, when things kind of get in disarray, when the moment requires somebody to grab a hold of it, there's not a clear idea of who's going to, you know, grab the reins, right?
That's why I'm so surprised, Parth, to that observation that Penny hasn't grabbed a hold of it more, that with this team, especially, some pecking orders happen naturally and organically. Uh-huh. Last year's did. This one has not. Guys in and out. So that's where it feels like to me. You got to be the one, right, that says, okay, we're going to have a pecking order and this is it for now. It seems like that's what's missing.
No, it's weird, right? Because, you know, you look at just a few games ago, Zach Davis scores 23 points. We're thinking, you know, could he be the 1B, 1A, whatever? Hassan Abdul-Hakim has 17 and 1/2 against a top 15 Louisville team. Sincere Parker pops off for 18 against Vanderbilt. Curtis Givens III, Julius Thedford, Quante Berry, Aaron Bradshaw, and Ashton Hardaway have all also scored at least 16 points. So you've got really, six, seven guys that have shown capabilities, but there hasn't, it's just been kind of a carousel, so to speak, and that's not really good this deep into the year.
Yeah, tomorrow, Memphis will go off to Starkville. They are 3.5-point underdogs. What does this game mean? What's the meaning of you know, if the Tigers win tomorrow, what will it mean?
I think you need it for just morale, right? Like, and you can't really measure that tangibly, but, you know, you've already had one 4-game losing streak. You know, you dug your way out of that. Obviously, Southern Illinois and New Orleans were kind of provided a nice cushion, right, after coming back from the Bahamas and playing Purdue and Wake Forest. Mississippi State is not not a slouch in that regard, but this is a gettable game, man. This is a game against a team that struggled. Yeah, they've got Josh Hubbard, who's been electric. I think he had 34 points on Tuesday against Long Island. But that's kind of their offense, right? Like, we talk about putting the ball in one guy's hands and living or dying. That's what Mississippi State does. So you take Hubbard out of this game, and I think this is one that is gettable and is almost a must-get just in terms of the team's psyche and morale at this point in the season.
Where are we at with Aaron Bradshaw?
Man, I thought that was, you know, obviously we've talked about it ad nauseum, but the comments that Dane Bradshaw made regarding, I guess what Penny told him about the NIL stuff, that's interesting. I wonder how much finding had occurred before the Baylor game, because if we can get that Aaron Bradshaw again, man, like, this team could be something, right?
Yeah. Man. I don't even know if that's going to do it. I mean, you'd like to just think one fine would get it done, and all of a sudden you got a new guy, but that doesn't seem like it's going to be the case with Aaron Bradshaw. I wonder, you know, I know you're so invested in him, Penny, and so, you know, so much of that $4 to $5 million, whatever you got for roster, is going to him. But I just wonder if you need to, and especially the way Hassan is able to rebound, if you need to scale down. I don't know if it's moving
out of the starting lineup, moving
not
Bradshaw.
Well, just moving Hassan to more of the big guy and Bradshaw to less of a dependency on him. I know maybe from, you know, what you're paying. Well, wait a minute, we're so invested. What do you mean? But I you just used the word morale. I think Bradshaw is lowering morale to where you almost need to get him
You know, use him as little as possible. And I'm asking, can Hassan, who had double-digit rebounds the next game, maybe you need to scale down, go small, and have Hassan as either your four or your five, is what I'm saying. Lessen the dependence on Aaron Bradshaw, or else this is just going to be, you know, head-scratching all year long.
I think, and this might be a hot take or controversial take, whatever, I think Memphis needs to do a better job of being intentional to get the ball to Bradshaw. Like, he had two field goal attempts all game, you know, against...
Penny keeps saying that.
Against Vanderbilt. Against Louisville, he barely touched the ball. Like,
but, like,
he needs to touch the ball. Or like they did with Dane, right? Remember with Dane, they activated Dane, right? Like, they put Dane in positions to win, and then the momentum started going. And then you saw Dane gain confidence and swagger. Yeah. And
that's the problem, is that we're comparing this one to Dane, it feels like. Because he ain't Dane. And you're not... I know that I almost think like it's fool's gold that 14-7 I think or whatever it was against Baylor, like because you think you
17-7
excuse me because you tell yourself, all right, it's there to be gotten out of,
right.
And then you're going to spend the rest of the season trying to do it and exactly. Setting everybody else and yourself back and trying
exactly.
And you see what I'm saying with that, like,
and Baylor was like a really small team too, right? Like relative
for sure.
You know, they didn't have any.
They had athletes
guys.
Everywhere, but they didn't have no 7-1 guy. No,
I just vehemently disagree with Penny's. Opinion that Aaron Bradshaw needs more shots.
I agree with it.
I totally disagree with it.
Shot the ball twice. Your starting big man shot the ball twice.
He doesn't have any ability. Why am I trying to get him offense? He can't. What is he going to do? He doesn't have any moves. He doesn't have any bag.
Just for simple gravitational purposes. Like, you get him offense. Okay, now he's drawing defenders, right? Now he's cutting to the basket. You got two guys following him. You got a wide open three-pointer for Quante Berry or Ashton Hardaway or Abdul Hakeem or whoever.
They tried to get him in some post-up situations against Vanderbilt, and like they just – and they're super small.
Vanderbilt's really small. I'm surprised he didn't get going against Vandy.
Because he's not good. That's why.
He's shown enough for it to be tantalizing, like you said, right? For us to be like,
I was after Baylor, and then I'm going into Vandy figuring, oh, this is perfect for Aaron Bradshaw.
Yeah, a bunch of guards.
Like,
yeah,
no doubt.
6'3" guards, like, should be a field day for a 7-1 guy, like, you know.
I mean, I just think like we're trying to hold on to this you know idea of him, right? That he's a number two, former number, but he ain't that dude anymore, man. He ain't that dude. He's never been that dude. He wasn't that dude at Kentucky. He wasn't that dude at Ohio State. And honestly, outside of like one fluke game against Baylor, he ain't done that here.
I mean,
that's, you know, I'm not, you're not Penny. I'm not trying to, I do, you do like him. You do seem to think there's something there, and I'm trying to beat it out of you. I'm trying to convert you.
I think there has to be something there for this team to be like what Penny had envisioned it being, right? When he made those comments about second most talented and, you know, the ceiling being so high for this team. Like, that includes Aaron Bradshaw. That vision, that...
Well, what if it doesn't? What if it doesn't? What if we're in December 19th and we're 10 games into the season and we have to now confront reality, which is that my vision for this team is not the right one, that I need to maybe, instead of focusing on Aaron Bradshaw, I need to focus on Hassan Abdul-Hakeem.
They
need to focus on
different positions.
Tarik Ingram. Tarik Ingram way better than, I mean, he's getting in shape, you know?
I see a way more useful big with him. That's what I'm saying. Stop wasting time on Aaron Bradshaw and invest time on seeing what you can get out to Tarik Ingram.
Right.
He's in better shape than when he started the year.
He actually has transformed his body already.
Keep in mind,
it's
too, I would just throw this on the Aaron Bradshaw conversation in terms of how tantalizing it might feel or whatever else. There's what you get, and then you don't get on the court. There's also what we're hearing and what they told us from that ESPN crew behind the scenes that you've had to hold back $20,000 from, according to Shoemaker, over the Daily Helmsman in fines because of dress code and being late. That's not a dude who's coming to play for behind the scenes.
Not ideal.
Who's locked in or engaged.
And
he doesn't deserve to be out there.
Shots?
That's what I'm getting. He doesn't deserve to be out there is my point.
Yes.
So you should be cutting ties and admitting the mistake that is we invested too much in this dude. But to this point, feels like it's setting you back in those ways. Again, if he's getting fined because you constantly but you're constantly throwing him back out there and saying he needs more shots, how does that make the rest of these bigs feel that you're telling every day in practice they can earn more? That just kills, to your point, morale, and it's coming with these losses. I know it feels like we're piling this all onto Parth's plate and saying, why doesn't Penny do this with Aaron?
No, but he does agree, though. He stands with his coach.
I'm surprised you're still here on Aaron, and I guess that's why we're trying to pull you to this other side.
I am a little surprised that you think he needs more shots.
At some point, they stopped on Jordan Brown.
Right.
Right? They stopped. He's not good enough. He's not going
to
get it.
Isn't it time for Aaron Bradshaw to have an illness? I mean, it's almost, you know, Christmas.
This is what I'm saying. Against Baylor, less than... Yeah. So like about 2 weeks ago against Baylor, 13 days ago, he had 17-7, right? Since the two games that have passed since then, I think he shot a total of 5 or 6. This is not enough volume for at least me to make a determination and say, okay, this isn't it. Like, he hasn't gotten a fair
There's a whole smattering of games before the Baylor game, though.
But if we're holding on to the fact that Baylor was some kind of magical turning point.
Who's holding on to it? Why are you holding on to that?
If you want to test that theory, that theory has not been tested.
Does Zach Davis need more shots? Does Zach Davis need, because he looked amazing. I want to send Zach Davis to Lemoyne.
But Zach Davis is shooting the ball, though.
Brad keeps he's saying it's over. He's saying it's over. We got to get out of here.
Take this passion down to Starkville.
Yeah.
Tigers
prediction.
Basketball.
Hopefully it's contagious.
Prediction tomorrow. Give me a prediction.
You want a score prediction?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see.
Don't go to Ken Pom.
All right.
Don't go to Ken Pom.
No Ken Pomeroy. No Ken Pom. All right. Let me get Memphis 78, Mississippi State 73.
A win for the Tigs.
A tight win, but a win nonetheless.
You homer.
They do it. Aaron Bradshaw
is a
goes
bad
off.
Basketball team, man.
40-20 for Aaron Bradshaw.
This is winnable, to your point. It's gettable.
Totally winnable. They should win.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is part of the pod.
I hope it happens, brother.
Covers the Tigers for the Daily at Memphis.
Thanks, brother.
You stood in here, and you held your ground.
Had to.
We'll come back, wrap it up. J&J, 99 FM ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Lab-grown diamond stud earrings are a perfect choice this holiday season at Robert Edward Jewelers for the lovely woman in your life. 2-carat lab-grown diamonds studs starting at just $7.99. You got the designer diamond necklace in 14-carat yellow gold, only $19.99. See, Howie knows there's different budgets for everybody. Maybe you want to splurge this holiday season. Maybe you just, you know, want to do something a little light. All good. There's something for everybody this holiday season at Robert Irwin Jewelers.
Including the Star of Hope diamond necklace, symbol of love, light featuring a star with a sparkling diamond in the center. Beautiful gift. Wear hope, give hope. Each purchase supports nonprofits making a difference, one sparkle at a time. You'll love it because they start at just $199, go up to $6,999. So a nice range on those Star of Hope diamond necklaces that she'll absolutely love. Whoever you got to give the gift to, and whatever the budget. Howie's got just the gift. He's been doing this for 40-plus years, he and his family, so they know what they're doing. Know that it won't just be you, won't just be the person you're giving the gift to that's smiling. It'll be you as well because you made the best deal in town. And certainly right now before Christmas, you need to get that done. Open extended hours through Christmas. And this Sunday, bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices, always at Robert Irwin Jewelers. They're online at rijewelers.com.
It's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Parthu Padhyay for joining us as part of Aaron Bradshaw's representation. Certainly, I know he is hurting right now not having that $20K because he gets 4% of that.
Yeah.
But, c'est la vie. C'est la vie,
Robert. Be better.
And, of course, thanks to Anthony Sain for joining us on the show. It's going to do it for us today. Your Memphis Tiger football program down 7-0 in the Gasparilla Bowl. Let's get the comeback. Let's get the comeback. Jeffrey and company going to take you through. Thanks for listening, everybody. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.